Idol worship has invaded the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, at first glance and at first hearing that comment and statement, you might question my sanity. You might say this guy has really fallen off the deep end. Well, let me first of all explain to you some of the clues as to why I think and believe that idol worship has invaded the church today. We find that in many occasions in the church that there are people who worship God with a divided heart. They don't worship Him, as the scriptures say, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. We have a divided heart in our worship and in our commitment to God today. We also find increasingly so that there is disobedience in the church. In fact, there are many surveys that have been taken of fundamental Bible-teaching, Bible-believing churches about the attitudes and opinions of those people who attend those churches and who are members in those places of worship. And we find that the attitudes and the practices of people in the church today almost exactly mirrors the same behavior and practice that we see in the world. So those are just two examples and illustrations that I can bring as to why I believe idol worship has invaded the Church of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's even true of your life today. On the one hand, you say that you believe in God and that you trust Him, and yet your heart is divided in its worship. It's possible that into your life today has come some of the same practices and fashions of the world that are contrary to the teachings and commands of the Scripture. So that we find today people in the Church of Jesus Christ, those who name the name of Jesus, are idol worshipers. Those who worship false gods. Now, as further evidence, what I would like to bring and use as part of our study today is to use some scripture to show and describe for us what a false god is. For you see, if it is true that we are worshiping false gods, then that can give us some explanation as to why we have grieved the Spirit of God. And we have quenched His work, if it is true that we have followed after false gods. It is also an explanation as to why we lack His glorious presence in our lives and in our churches today. And the cause can be oftentimes traced back to the fact that we don't fully believe what the Scriptures teach us about God. We have divided hearts. And what we need today is for a fresh revelation of the truth of God's Word by His Holy Spirit, opening our eyes to see and our minds to understand and our hearts to believe the truth of God's Word concerning Himself. And that in so having that revelation in our lives that we might repent and turn from our sin, and experience a spiritual reformation and revival in our lives that totally transforms us. As the basis of our study, I would like to use a chapter in the Old Testament that pictures for us worshiping false gods. And that's Exodus chapter 32. For we find in this chapter, this is the time when the children of Israel made the golden calf. And they worshiped it. And they bowed down to it. And I want us to examine them today because I believe that in their sin, we can see many of the same signs and symptoms in our lives today, perhaps even in your life. Perhaps it is true in the church where you worship. And in so seeing and understanding the truth, we might be convicted of our sin and turn from it, that we might experience the glorious presence of God in our lives. Listen while I read a few verses from Exodus 32. Then we'll study them together, hopefully for our correction and benefit. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all of the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and then they rose up to play. From this passage, I want us to see some features about false gods, features of idols, that I pray the Spirit of God will use in your life today to open your eyes to see the truth of about that which is false, the truth about the reality of God and as He has revealed Himself in His Word. The first thing I want you to notice about the false gods, the first feature of false gods, is that false gods conform to the world's practice. False gods conform to the practice of the world. Now notice in our example here of the children of Israel, when Moses delayed coming down from Mount Sinai, they said to Aaron, Up, make us gods. Where did they get that idea? Where did that concept come from? Why did they go to Aaron and say, Make us gods that we can worship and follow? The explanation is really quite simple. Because as you read through the scriptures, you find that the children of Israel, while they were back in Egypt, they observed the Egyptians, first of all, who were idol worshippers. In addition to that, the children of Israel, during their stay in Egypt, themselves took into their own religious practice the worshiping of those same false idol gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And they were part of their possessions while in Egypt. The scriptures further describe for us, and this is the sad part, that when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the children of Israel brought with them those idols. Those idols that they had taken possession of back in Egypt, in copying the worldly influence around them, they brought with them, and they still had them. So when the children of Israel said to Aaron, Up, make us gods, what were they doing? They were merely following the fashion of the world that they knew. The world that they knew back in Egypt was idol worship. The world that they knew, even as they were progressing through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, was to still hold in possession the idols and the false gods that they had back in Egypt. And so now, when times got a little bit difficult and they didn't quite understand, they said, Up, make us gods. You see, they followed the fashion of the world. And what really saddens my heart and breaks my heart is to observe in the Church of Jesus Christ today this same practice. Oh, we're not fashioning idols of stone and gold. No, we don't do that. But we follow the practice of the world just like they did. We follow the practice of the world. And there are several ways in which we follow the practice of the world. First, in order for us to see that, let's get a little bit of a grip and grasp upon how the world does things. What is the methodology of the world? Well, the methodology of the world is to follow several steps. I'll try and remember some of them. I'm not going to remember all of them, but I'll at least remember enough and recall them to your mind that you'll get the picture. One of the things that the world does is, number one, we need to set some goals. We need to set goals. And that is a very big, popular thing in business today. and in many areas of our society, is everything is based on goals. And then in the next step that we will take after we set goals is we then have to develop an organization and a procedure to accomplish those goals. Once we've done that, our next step is to recruit people who are really well-known, influential people, who can help us accomplish our goals. Once we follow that step, the next thing that we then do is we then formulate some kind of a financial pattern or a financial program in order to pay for it. And then we adopt a slogan. We put it all under a very simple banner. And then we go out and we try to recruit the masses to join us in our plan. That's how the world does things. That's their procedure. That's their methodology. You can observe it on every hand. You can observe it from the standpoint of charities who try to raise funds for very well-meaning and worthwhile projects, to business, to industry, to education, and all areas of our society. That's the method and fashion of the world. And we find that when we examine the way that the Church of Jesus Christ today does what it is supposed to do, it follows the exact procedure step for step. That's the way the Church does things. We have this conclusion that we have drawn: if it is successful in the world, then it must work in the Church. As though the Church were something very similar to a business. As though the Church were something very similar to another nonprofit organization. As though the Church were something very similar to an educational system. We have simply adopted the same methods that the world uses to accomplish its purposes, and we have put them within the program of the Church, and that's the exact same thing that we do in the Church. Very, very seldom do I ever hear a pastor, in presenting his plans for the congregation, to ever include, let alone emphasize, that these will be accomplished only by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's not even mentioned. He isn't even discussed. There is very little mention, if any, about prayer. You see, we've got this system. And if we will just apply these principles, we will attain it. God isn't even in the picture. That's a false god. That's idol worship. That is not worshiping the true and the living God. That is following the fashion of the world. And you see it pictured here very clearly by the children of Israel. When they fashioned the golden calf, they were simply following the world. They were doing things exactly the way that the world does them. The world has their idols, let's make ours. We say today the world has its method and procedures for accomplishing its goals, let's do the exact same thing in the Church. We can then accomplish our goals as well. My friends, that is contrary to Scripture. That is following a false god. That is the same idol worship as the children of Israel were guilty of practicing when they fashioned the golden calf. You see, the Scriptures tell us very clearly in Isaiah chapter 55, God is describing Himself to us. And He says it in this fashion. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts and ways are far different from yours. Follow my ways. Follow my thoughts." And when we fail to follow God's ways and thoughts, my friend, we practice idol worship. We fall into the sin that the children of Israel did. We just don't have it fashioned into a golden calf. For you see, we have assumed that God works in a way in which He does not work. and we have become enamored with a procedure instead of a person. False gods conform to the practices of the world. That's the first thing we see here, pictured in this example, this sad example from the children of Israel. The second thing that we see about false gods is false gods rely upon human resources. False gods rely upon human resources. Now notice in the fashioning of this golden calf, there is nothing supernatural about it. Aaron says very simply to all of the people, bring me your gold. That's simple. Everybody takes their golden earrings off, by the way, which God had given to them from the Egyptians when they escaped. You can read about it in the early part of Exodus. The Egyptians were so glad to see the Israelites go, they gave them just millions of dollars worth of gold and precious jewels to get rid of them. It's that gold that the children of Israel take and now give to Aaron to make the golden calf. And we see that Aaron takes it and he melts it down, and it says he takes an engraving tool and he fashions a golden calf. Why a golden calf? Because that was the gods of Egypt. That was one of their gods. And he fashioned it with his hands, a golden calf. So we see that there was nothing miraculous or supernatural whatsoever about this idol, this figure that they worshipped. It was all come about through human resources. Again, now making the analogy to the church of today, and perhaps even in your life today, my friend, we find a supreme reliance not upon God, but instead upon human resources. We rely and depend upon the polished personality of the preacher. Our preachers today must have a certain kind of personality, mustn't they? Or else they will never become a pastor. No one will choose them. We have a certain image of how that pastor is supposed to act and behave. We are trusting in human resources. And that person must have certain kinds of abilities and capabilities, and that's why we choose them. Look at the leadership within the church where you worship today. How were they chosen? Were they chosen on the basis of their walk and relationship and fellowship with God? Did you go throughout your congregation looking for the men who spent time on their knees before God? Or did you choose people who were successful businessmen, successful educators, people who were prominent in the community, people who had very polished personalities about them and were persuasive in their manner of life and in their ability to speak and to mold people? You see, that's idol worship. That's worshiping a false god. For you see, God does not depend upon me, nor does he depend upon you. And aren't you glad? Because you see, if it was only a certain few that could ever accomplish God's purpose, that would leave out most of us, including myself. You see, that's idol worship. That is following after the practice of the world. That is relying upon human resources. The scriptures tell us very clearly. The Lord Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 15. He says, abide in me. If you will abide in me, you will bring forth much fruit. Now here's the statement I want you to notice. For without me, ye can do nothing. And the church for many years now has been doing exactly that. It has been trying to accomplish the purposes of God without reliance upon him. Instead, we have depended upon human resources. That was the children of Israel. In making the golden calf, there was nothing supernatural about it whatsoever. It was purely human ability that accomplished it. And sadly, much of the church of Jesus Christ today is in exactly the same position. We can be explained. And that is the surest evidence of our downfall, because we can be explained in terms of human resources. That's idol worship. Now, I want you to notice a third thing about the features of false gods, something that is true about idol worship, and that's this. They are built on imitation. They imitate divine realities. Now, notice when Aaron fashioned the golden calf, it says that he made an altar before it, that people might come and worship and even offer sacrifices, it says. They came and they offered sacrifices and they worshiped this false god and they said to it, "Glory to God." Sounds like a good phrase, doesn't it? And it says that this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. You see, saying something doesn't make it so. The fact that they gave praise and honor to God, it was a false honor and glory because it wasn't given to God. It was given to a creation of mankind. It wasn't given in true honor and worship and praise to the living God who revealed himself supernaturally in their presence. And we find as we read a little further on in chapter 32 that when Moses came down from the mountain, it says he heard a noise. He heard noise in the camp, it says. And that word noise, its literal definition is he heard them singing. You see, in the Church of Jesus Christ today, sadly, but I believe truthfully, we've got a lot of noise. Oh, we're saying the right things. We are giving honor and glory to God. We sing our songs. We have great enthusiasm. We have great excitement. And all of it false. It's false because it is not given to God. It is given to something that comes from a human resource. It comes as a result or consequence of following the pattern of the world. It is not something that is produced supernaturally by God himself. Sadly, it's been a long time since I've observed in the Church of Jesus Christ something that only God himself can do. A sure sign of our need of confession and repentance for worshiping a false God. For we have set up God to be something that he is not. And we've begun to worship something that God is not involved in. God has not displayed his power and his ability. It has been merely the consequence of our own efforts. As a result, we are guilty of idol worship just like the children of Israel were. Now, my question for you today, my friend, is what does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your life? He wants you to know the truth. He wants to convict you. He wants to correct you and conform your life to the truth of the Scriptures, that you might believe and worship the true and the living God as he has revealed himself in his Word, repenting of your sin of idol worship, of worshiping a false god, of resting upon human resources and the world's methods, and instead trust the living God to accomplish in your life what only he himself can accomplish, that it might be supernatural in its origin, supernatural in its effect, supernatural in its consequence in your life.